Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a here in the studio for Danny Yamashiro. So excited today. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How can God use a local boy from the housing in Kalihi to change the lives of hundreds of local boys raised just like him? And in the process, also change an entire community? This is the story of Randall Okimoto, son, father, football giant, and lifelong Farrington High School governor. We pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It's here to lead you to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Christ, no matter what you are going through. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross for mine. He shed his blood on the cross. He was buried. But he was raised on the third day, and today, through our show, he is calling you. Randall Okimoto coached football at Farrington High School for 21 years, 16 as the team's head coach. During his time at the helm, he won 116 games and took his team to the state championship tournament 11 times. Randall was a high school running back himself for the Governors and is one of only four running backs from Farrington to rush over 2,000 yards in one season. After winning Farrington's only high school state championship, he went to the University of Hawaii on scholarship, where he was part of UH's first WAC championship. Randall left coaching after the 2017 high school season to spend more time with his family, his wife Melanie, and his two children, Maya and Elliot. Randall, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. No, thank you for coming in. So good to talk story with you, hear about what God's done in your life, the many things that God's been able to do through you. But we really want to start where you started. So where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Kalihi, Middle Street area. And it's a housing called Hawiki Housing, right on the top of the hill. So I think it's the only housing that is on top of the hill. And we were so blessed to be there. But yeah, my mom and dad, my dad dropped out of high school. Mom did as well. She went back to get her GED. But so we struggled. We weren't financially well off. But it's all good because I'm so glad that I was able to experience that growing up.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the challenge has got to teach you, has got to create some things in you, right? It's got to make some changes. So who in your growing up years as a young man, who was your greatest influence?
Ooh, greatest influence, it would have to be my parents. And then as I got older, it would be the adults around me, my teachers, coaches. I was into sports from a young age, 7 years old. Started playing baseball, and then I played football and basketball. And so, yes, I would say my coaches, my older brother, but mostly my parents. Mom and dad was always together, which helped me. They were my greatest influences, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so they never emphasized Jesus, but they emphasized right and wrong, right from wrong. I grew up in a nice moral home, but something was missing. But mom came from a Catholic background, and she had a statue of Mary, I remember, and she still does at her home. Mm-hmm. But communication back then wasn't, they really didn't communicate it too much. I didn't get to know the Lord until my adult life.
And what, when you say they influenced you, they taught you right and wrong and moral goodness.
Yes.
What kind of influence did your father have on you? I know you talked about your mom, but what kind of influence did your father?
Oh, it's a huge influence. He, like I said, he dropped out of high school. So he came from that background where he got kicked out of school, and he had to work hard for the most of his life. And he just always would tell me, if you don't want to be like me, go to school, mm-hmm. get your education. Yeah. So, you know, I admire him for putting himself out there like yeah. that and humbling himself mm-hmm. and doing it that way. Mm-hmm. But I did grow up. I mean, if you ever watched The Karate Kid, I mean, that's kind of like how I grew up. You know, I washed two cars. I had to massage his back, feet, head for a couple hours. I mean, I really worked hard at home, and I appreciate all that now, mm-hmm. you know, me and my brother. And so that was the kind of upbringing I had from him. It's a huge influence on us.
Yeah. At the yes. time, wasn't so fun, though, yeah?
Oh, yes. At the time, you know. I don't want to say I hated him, but that's how I felt. You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, you know. But mom was there to pick it up and mm-hmm. say, you know, your dad loves you. Don't worry, you know. Just
good.
Just believe me that he does. And so she would back him up in that way, you know.
What a nice picture that is. I mean, just a reality of, you know, discipline with love.
Yes.
Right? Unconditional love, unconditional discipline. Just to be able to frame up your youth that way, right?
So yes.
That's amazing. And as you grew up, at some point, you met Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So what happened there?
Well, you know, when I think about it now that I've known him, and it's so beautiful the way he prepares you, you know, and the way he prepared me. And that being in sports, just being in that background, my family background, and just that tough life that I felt like I had. But all that prepared me, I think, to handle the situation that I went through when I said yes to him. So in 2000, when I became the head coach, I just wanted to be a good example to the players that I was coaching. So I just wanted to get rid of all the stuff in my life and like drinking alcohol or anything that would influence them the wrong way. Kind of wanted to just get rid of it. And then I wanted to marry my girlfriend at the time, who's my wife, Melanie. And so I wanted to do the right things. So I ended up watching Pastor Wayne Cordero on TV. And I hear this guy speaking. And I'm like, wow, this guy can communicate, you know. And so I got watching him. And then New Hope is right at Farrington High School. So they have services right there. And George Kamau, our trainer, who's been there for over 50 years, and he's still there. One of my mentors gave me an invitation.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said, hey, why don't you come to church? It's right here at Farrington, you know. And I said, oh, okay. So I ended up going to church and finally saying yes to Jesus, you know, when they ask you, Pastor Wayne invites you to do so, and end up raising my hand, and that was in 2002, and yeah, and that was the most, I mean, I just felt a sense of peace that I've never felt before, and that was the beginning of my road and walk with Jesus.
It's so great when you say that a friend gave you a flyer
yes.
for church.
Yes.
You know, how many times we're in church and we get those handouts of flyers and they go, give it out, you know, let yes. people know. And how many of us actually do give it out to everyone, right?
Yes.
And it works.
Yes.
It works. You never know, right?
You never know.
You're going to give it to somebody and it's going to change a life. And then that life is going to change a lot of lives.
Mm.
So I'm encouraged by that. Mm. And I think our listeners, you know,
yes.
give out those flyers
yes.
for Easter, for Christmas, for
yes.
Mother's Day, give out the flyers.
Yes.
You just never know who's God is going to bring into the church because of a simple act of giving a flyer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So since you've met the Lord in 2002 and he's really become a personal friend of yours,
yes.
how has that changed your life?
My whole outlook, my whole view of the world, how I live my life. How I view myself, you know, it's just how I view my family. There's so many things that I had to relearn because you learn a certain way. Like I was brought up in a moral upbringing, but it was never Jesus is Lord. It was never emphasized. And so I would find myself searching, right? I'm always searching. You know, you come from a sports background. Mm-hmm. You always depend on your performance.
Mm-hmm.
And we always depend on winning, winning the game. That's what defines us.
Mm-hmm.
Trying our best to win the game. So everything is performance based.
Yeah.
And then so I realized that, hey, it has nothing to do with that. You know, it's nothing. It's everything of what Jesus did for us. Mm-hmm. You know, he loved us because of not what we did, but who he is. And so, so that whole view really turned my life mm-hmm. around and upside down. And I, you know, we got married, my wife and I. Mm-hmm. Then we got pregnant, you know, and we bought a house. Mm-hmm. So everything's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, we get hit. Mm. And I don't know if you want me to share that now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to, I know we're going to go take a break.
Okay.
But you know, you talk about, and I do want to come back to that maybe after the break. But you talk about the performance-based living.
Yes.
And it's athletes, but it's everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a performance-based world.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So how do you shift? I mean, what is the shift? What is the shift that you're talking about?
Yeah, so realizing that our effort matters, but the results not too much. You know, you leave it up to the Lord. I used to use the scripture, you can prepare the horses for battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Mm. Use that a lot with our team. Mm. And it's about the process. You know, it's about what we do. It's not about the results so much. Let's give that to the Lord. So those are the things that I needed to really learn and not really take a loss so hard.
Yeah.
I really took it bad when we lost the prep bowl in 1990. I tell you.
We're going back.
Hey, that stuck with me. You know, I felt so bad being the featured running back, being the person I did not produce. We did not win the game. 30,000 people in the stands. Wow. Every alumni is coming from Farrington to, you know, and we just don't produce. Yeah. Oh, that really affected me.
Like yesterday, yeah.
Yes, it affected me. I tell you, it affected me. So which led me to go back to Farrington and you know, take out my frustration or that fire to redeem myself there.
You know, so good, so good. You had some losses in 90, but you had some wins in 91 and I think in 92. Mm-hmm. Tell us about those.
Well, so yeah, in 1990, we won the OA championship, and that is Farrington's only OA championship. But, you know, that team, the remarkable thing about that team for Farrington High School, the year before, we went 3-5. So we had one of Farrington's worst seasons the year before. And to have a bunch of guys, teenagers, come together and say, you know what, we're not going to let that happen the next year after. And just to have us work hard, listen to our coaches, and shed some of the things that was taking us away from school. You know, those bad habits that some teenagers have. And guys just saying, you know, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that for the sake of the team. Mm-hmm. To me, that was the testimony of what Coach Skipper Diaz was teaching us at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, yeah, we end up winning and going to the prep bowl.
Yeah.
And that was my junior year. And I tell you, that's something we'll never forget. At the same time, I realized that many of those guys on that team struggled. Some of them went to jail. Some of them struggled at home. They didn't go to college. And so, you know, when I became a coach, wanted to, I guess, touch more upon that side. And Coach Diaz did it with us. Mm. You know, he did it. He preached family. He always says, go home. Tell your mama and daddy you love them. Mm. So he preached that side. But we wanted to see if we could add Jesus into our team somehow, someway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, so. That's amazing. You know, I'm sure there are many listening out there who recognize a lot of what you're saying, and yet the story underneath it, it was a great championship. You know, there was celebration, right? Mm-hmm. Hard work. And so many, I hear these stories of teams that struggle and they come out in a championship the next year. And the change isn't that they went in the gym and they lifted more. The change isn't that they ran more quickly or put more weight on. Mm. The change always happens in the mind and in the heart.
Yes.
You know, and in the unity and in the trust and in the things that you can't train in a gym.
Mm-hmm.
But take that kind of effort, right? And to have a coach like Skipper Diaz, wow.
Yes.
You know, to be a mentor of yours, to take that forward. That's special.
Yes.
And you know, it's an amazing thing. We're going to come back with Coach Randall Okimoto. A great story. We're going to kind of talk to him about moving into the role of coach.
Yes. Okay.
And taking that next step. Why you did it. What drew you to that? And challenges you had, but victories you had as well. So stay with us. We're in the middle of a great conversation with Coach Randall Okimoto, former coach of Farrington High School, a great coach, well-known coach, but a coach that loves Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a. Welcome back to The Good Life. We're here with Coach Randall Okimoto, having a great conversation, reminiscing a little bit about some football championships. And we want to continue with our discussion, but we want to talk to you first of all about this show. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com is where you can go if you would like to get this entire show to listen to again. You can also download it there, TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. You can share it with a friend. Please do. We really encourage that. It is life-changing. And certainly Coach Randall's testimony is one that is life-changing. Coach Randall was a coach at Farrington High School for many years, but before that, he was a running back, and he was a successful running back, but he was an undersized one coming out of high school. But University of Hawaii saw something in him, and they gave him a scholarship to play on the Warrior football team. Take us back to that time when you got that call. That you would be able to play for University of Hawaii.
Wow, yeah. I knew I was undersized. And so I planned for college, and I didn't plan to get a scholarship. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about walking on. I was getting letters from Montana, and so I was thinking about going away. And then there's an all-star game at the end of the season, after the season. And so I played an all-star game, did well, threw a touchdown pass and stuff like that. And the next day, I had a call from Bob Wagner, mm-hmm. and he came to my house, and he spoke to me and my parents, mm-hmm. offered the scholarship. And as, I mean, it was about 30 seconds, I said, I'll take it. You know, I mean, I was like, no one else is going to offer me. So I was so elated. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, I'm asking for my teammate, oh, what do you think of my teammate? You know, and so trying to get him something. But that was a great time. I was so appreciative of Coach Bob Wagner, mm-hmm. to consider me. And at the time, every time I speak with Coach Wagner and I say, Coach, thank you. You know, thank you for taking a chance on me and, you know, and stuff like that. And he would say, Kanani Souza. So he would point back to Kanani Souza, mm-hmm. who actually was the one advocating for me, mm-hmm. to him. And then you talk to Kanani Souza, I speak to him, and then he reverts back to Coach Diaz. And Coach Diaz was the one advocating to Kanani Souza for me. And so funny how that chain works.
Absolutely.
You know, and how God works.
Absolutely.
And so I got to thank every single one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, personally, mm-hmm. and then, but not only personally, it's just emulating what they did as coaches. Mm-hmm. That's what made me wanted to be a coach as well.
Mm-hmm. But so. How important it is when you're an athlete, or anyone, but mm-hmm. when you're an athlete, that you remember that your reputation, who you are, mm-hmm. how you conduct yourself, mm-hmm. It matters.
Yes.
Because somebody is going to tell somebody who's going to tell somebody, and it could yes. change your life, right? I
yes.
mean, University of Hawaii, going there on scholarship. How did that change your life?
Oh, it's huge. Because, you know, knowing my background, too, of not being able to afford things. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are we going to pay for things? You know, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my parents. Mm-hmm. Every time I got injured, I was afraid to go home. And because I knew my dad, at times, he would get mad. And the only reason why he got mad is because he was thinking of how we're going to pay for the bills.
Wow.
And so I would hide a lot of my injuries. You know, and so now, you know, what about going to school? And so in my mind, I'm thinking I got to do all this on my own. You know, I cannot put a burden on my parents. And so getting that scholarship was like, wow, winning the lottery. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And I knew I was there to get my education, because while I was there, it was a struggle. I didn't play for the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, you want to play. But I always knew I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my degree.
So good. Perspective was correct.
Yeah.
Right? Correct. Perspective was, I'm here to get my education
yeah.
and play a little bit of ball,
yeah.
but that this is going to take me through the rest of my life, right?
Yes. And God prepared me for that by growing up in poverty.
Mm.
Because if I didn't do that, I don't know if I would have had that same perspective.
Right, yeah. The blessing of poverty,
yes,
if you will, the blessing of poverty, that's
yeah.
so great.
Yeah,
and so you go to the University of Hawaii and you're part of that team,
mm.
that amazing team,
yes,
that got to do what you did. How did that experience with the WAC championship?
That was beautiful. I got to go and witness all of the veterans, like Michael Carter, who was the quarterback, mm-hmm. Ivan Jasper, who's now coaching at Navy, and Kenny Niamatalolo, who's the head coach of Navy, who
wow.
was a GA there, and all the players,
yeah.
Just experiencing their cohesiveness, camaraderie,
mm-hmm.
leadership, mm-hmm. all the things they did together as our leaders, and then us young guys being a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and just helping Ma'a Tanawasa,
mm-hmm.
who was their Super Bowl champion, Ma'a Tanawasa, and what an experience. I just can't put it into words, but I know this. When we went to the Holiday Bowl, which was in San Diego, got to go to Disneyland. And my first time on the mainland, you know, it's like, we can't afford to go to the outer island. And
yeah.
so, I mean, I'm just soaking everything in, and I'm like so happy. We got new sweats, you know, they give us new jumpsuits. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'll never forget the team at Illinois, who we played, they're all in suits. So they look at us and they're kind of giggling. at us because we're in jumpsuits, you know, and they're in suits themselves, suit and ties. And we end up winning that game, you know. And it's like, wow, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it was and we didn't have the best athletes. We didn't have the best guys at UH. But you know what? The way they played together was unmatched for that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be a part of it. I lived with a lot of the guys in the dorms. Got to experience our friendships there, and we're still friends today. Mm-hmm.
And so many of you have become coaches.
Yes.
Giving back.
Yes.
You know, taking what you learned, moving it into that next generation. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. What is the greatest lesson you learned, maybe from being mentored by your coaches or just participating as an athlete at the highest, at the collegiate level of football?
You know, doing what's best for the team. Handling adversity, and like you said in your prayer, just wiping away ourselves, right? And when you play on teams, you got to realize that the team must come first, the success of the team, stuff like that. So you realize that it's not about you starting, it's not about you, it's not about you. You just work hard. You know, just contribute some way and your time will come. And my parents used to tell me that all the time because I wasn't playing for 3 years. Randy, don't worry, your time will come. Don't worry, your time will come.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad they kept telling me that because when I was down and out, that kept me going. And sure enough, my junior year, I was like sixth on the depth chart.
not fourth, not third.
Sixth on the depth chart.
Wow.
And things just happened where I got my opportunity to start, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, just stick with it.
Yeah. Stick and you were it. Ready.
I was ready.
When your name was called.
Oh, in fact, it was so funny because Michael Carter was the GA at the time and we were playing a game in UNLV and I'm on the sideline. Like you said, ready? So I'm waiting and sure enough, somebody gets hurt, limping off the field.
Yeah.
I'm not the next guy in, but the next guy that's supposed to go in, he's not paying attention. So I just run on the field, and I get in, and I play, and I'll never forget Coach telling me, hey, great job, heads up on the sideline, and, you know, just being ready and helping the team.
Yeah.
But like you said, I was waiting. I was eager. And so, just an experience for me. For me, I always wanted to play Division I football. That was my goal, you know. And so, I just soaked it all in.
Yeah. I mean, being ready.
Mm.
You know, that takes courage, especially when you don't feel like you're going to get your shot.
Yes.
And it's 3 years that you don't feel like you're going to get your shot, right?
Yes.
So we're going to come back in a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about being ready when God calls you to that moment to be ready.
Okay.
And it's a great story. We're here with Coach Randall. Very, very successful high school coach here at Farrington High School. Born and raised at Farrington, played for Farrington, and decided when God called him that he was going to give back to his community. Mm. And he was going to change it. He was going to change it for a lot of kids. So stick with us. And Coach Randall Okimoto, we'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a. I'm in studio today for Danny Yamashiro. We are having a conversation with a special guest, Coach Randall Okimoto. He is one of the most winning coaches in Farrington football history. He has coached many great athletes. They've gone on to play in college and beyond. I'm sure the list is long and broad and wide of all the youth that you've been able to touch through the many years, 21 years at Farrington. What made you decide to become a coach when you left the University of Hawaii?
My former coaches, yeah. So from Pop Warner till now, I mean, they all treated me well. You know, they were there for me. Like I said before, my childhood upbringing was a tough upbringing. So football was my savior. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Jesus, right? So football is my savior. And so I looked up to my coaches. And they inspired me to do the same when I had a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have ever a different life plan?
No.
Always
actually
wanted to be a coach?
Yeah, so when I went to the University of Hawaii, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. Because Skipper Diaz was a teacher and a coach. So I already knew I wanted to go. In fact, they had a program called Rainbow Advantage back then where all the freshmen would come in and they would take certain courses, and I was the guy to say, oh no, I don't want to do that. I want to do education. I know what I want to do. And so I deviated from what they had for us, and that's what I wanted to do.
And how did you end up coaching at Farrington?
So after I was done with my eligibility in 1996, a college eligibility, I was still in school getting my degree, so I needed something to do. And so I went, it was either one or two things. I go play arena football, which the coaches asked me, former UH coaches went to arena, and so they asked, do you want to play this? Or go back to Farrington and coach. And I went out one day at practice for arena football. And I said, you know what? I just felt this something inside of me. And I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm done playing. This is it. I got to go back to Farrington. I kept saying that I would go back. And so my mom and dad taught me, you know, you got to be a man of your word. And so that just stuck with me. And that's what made me want to go back. And I started on the JV, junior varsity team. And yeah.
So what is that transition? I'm a former athlete, a collegiate athlete, and, you know, I always wonder what the transition for each person is like from being so committed and disciplined as an athlete yourself, and then moving out of that into a new space, a new normal, a new you. Was that transition easy for you?
Well, not really. I started on junior varsity, and of course, I think I'm 20-something years old. I think I'm the best coach in the world. And, of course, I was humbled the first 2 days I showed up to practice, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? And so, that transition was really hard for me. And then you're coached a certain way in college, right? And then you're coaching high school. I'm coaching high school. And I found out real quick that it's not the same. And so I had to adjust and learn. And so, but the good thing is, I was like, like I said earlier, I knew this is what I wanted to do, so I was able to work through all those kinks, you know, and I was assistant. I was an assistant, so I was able to, you know, just have my own space and work there instead of being like a head coach and being have to worry about. If I was a head coach early, I think I wouldn't have lasted, but God set it up that way where, you know, I would learn first. So, yeah, it was a tough transition.
Tough. You work at your alma mater, and, you know, of course, everyone says, oh, you know, I always want to go back to my alma mater, but you honestly could have coached anywhere. You had the potential and the skill to just coach anywhere. What has it meant to you to be a coach at your alma mater?
Wow, it meant everything to me. That's what I wanted to do. And so coming out of college, you get calls from the DOE. So I graduated as a teacher with my teaching degree in kinesiology. And so I get calls from other schools, and the calls that I got, I say, oh, no. And they tell you not to say no. But I had my mindset on going back to Farrington. If I was not going to be at Farrington, I would have done something else. I probably would have sold insurance or something. I had all these opportunities, right? And so these principals are calling. I said, oh, no. Why are you saying no? I said, because I'm waiting for Farrington. That's where I want to go. And so, yeah. And so I started off in not in kinesiology. I was in special motivation. Then I moved to special education. And then I went into outreach counseling. So I was willing to do whatever it took just to be at Farrington, because I knew the clientele. And so I knew the students, and I walked the road that they have. So I just wanted to be there, you know, helping out.
And then as you continued in your coaching and your success, did you get other offers or?
I did, actually.
May I ask?
I did. I after our first year, my first year as the head coach in 2002, we beat Kahuku, the two-time defending state champion, and we did well. And at that time, Coach Cal Lee was leaving to go to University of Hawaii, and a St. Louis job came available, and so they offered it to me, but I turned it down, and I just felt like Farrington. I'm not done yet. I just started, you know, I just started there, and I was like, you know what, I can't leave. And so, and 21 years later, here we are. And I'm so glad that I stayed at Farrington.
And right about that time, you met the Lord, 2002.
Yes.
Isn't that pretty amazing,
it
right?
Is. That, yes.
You know, sometimes the choices are placed in front of us to deter us or to take away from God's purpose and plan.
Yes.
And so it's amazing to me that in that same year, all of these things were occurring and you stuck with what I know he had planted in you way back when, right?
Yes.
When you go forward now and your coaching and your perspective has changed, as you talk about earlier, it's not about performance, you said. It's about process, the importance of the process. What kind of goals did you set for your teams now with a new perspective? How did your coaching change?
So, you know, I would always meet with my coaching staff. We'll start off with my philosophy. And it was simple, pretty simple. It was just, I would explain to them that we're going to use this sport to teach them about life. We're going to teach them the principles. And that is our goal. So now it's easy. You can say that and it sounds great. When you start going through the process of football, it's not easy. You got parents on you. You got playing issues of playing time. You got coaches wanting to win. You got administration talking to you about grades, about all these things that go on. And, you know, the pressure mounts. But at the end of the day, always go back to that philosophy. Say, why are we here? We're going to use this sport to teach them about life. And so, that's what I started with our coaches. And then we would preach the same thing to our players. You know, and set up a system where it was fair. Everybody would get evaluated and such. But, I always had a good response from our boys.
Give me an example, teaching a player about life through the sport of football.
Yeah.
Give me an example of that.
Yeah, that's funny. I always say, whoa, Farrington, it's better if we go 5-5 because if you win too much, oh my goodness, how are you going to control these guys? Because their heads get so big. And I was there too, you know. And so teach them about life. You know, never miss an opportunity to discipline your best player. You know, and it's like our best player, if he would not do the things he's supposed to do, he's not playing. Mm. You know, he would sit out.
How hard was that?
And he would be this. It was real hard because now I will deal with a lot of single moms. Mm. And I noticed that sometimes the moms didn't understand the discipline that I would hand out. He's doing all this for you. He's gaining all these yards. He's doing all this for the team. I said, okay, yeah, but he missed the conditioning. What do you think his team is saying about him right now? You know, and so it wasn't easy, especially if you don't get parental and administration or anybody backing you up as much at times. And so, it was tough, but it's important. And I'm glad I did it when I was younger because I was hard-headed myself, and I wasn't going to budge. Mm. And I said, no, I'm going to draw the line, and I did. But I feel like those are my most disciplined teams when I was young, when I was a younger coach.
Energy, right?
Yeah.
All that energy.
So
you were really coaching a family. I mean, you were really coaching families, right? You weren't just coaching a player.
Yes.
You were reaching and coaching families. Yes. How important that is. And we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break, and we've talked a lot about the coaching part of your life, but at some point you transitioned out. Mm-hmm. God called you and yet I think you're still coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might still be coaching families.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Coach Randall Okimoto, former head coach of the Farrington High School football team, well-known, successful coach on the field. But we're learning about his successes off the field as well. Amazing man of God who has instilled life and the joy of life and the discipline of life in every player that he touched. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're listening
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a. I'm in studio today with Randall Okimoto. I'm in here with on behalf of Danny Yamashiro. And if you'd like to listen to the entire show today, it's a special show with Coach Randall Okimoto. Please go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it. You can download it. You can share it with somebody who might need to be inspired. It's really a special time that we're having. Coach Randall Okimoto, he was the head coach at his alma mater, Farrington High School, but stepped down from his post after being there for 21 years. He also teaches there. In fact, he's still a teacher at Farrington High School. But there was a point in your coaching career, maybe a milestone or something that nudged you after 21 years. Why did you decide to step down?
Well, it was down to my family. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, my daughter, one day I came home and she said, "Dad, are you going to take me to the park?" And I told her, "No, I have to go to practice." Mm-hmm. That moment never left me. And that was like, I want to say about 3 years before I stepped out. And so, but I always, after every season, I always remembered her saying that to mm-hmm. me. And then finally, one day in March, I think it was March, and I just said, you know what, it stops now as far as not spending time with my family. And mm-hmm. so, and I've seen the examples with my former coaches as well, and how their family really suffered because they were away from home for mm-hmm. so many hours. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't see myself doing that, mm-hmm. especially the road that we took to get our family mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. So. That is an entire show of itself. We're going to have your wife on. Melanie can share that story as well. Yes. How difficult was that decision?
Oh, yeah. It was a difficult decision. Mm-hmm. So my wife didn't even know. I didn't even tell her I was making that decision. I didn't want anybody thinking that it was because of her. Mm-hmm. And then she convinced me and all this stuff. It wasn't. In fact, she was into coaching just as much as I was. She was helping with the
The coach behind the coach.
Yes, the statistics. So she would be on the field. She did our concession. She helped everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she enjoyed it as well. Mm-hmm. And so, so I didn't even tell her. But I wrestled with it, you know, mm-hmm. wrestled in prayer. And it came to a point where I was in peace, and I said, "Oh yeah, it's okay." Mm. You know, I should have done it earlier, but at the same time, you always think about the next generation. So I would always have younger kids ask me, "Coach, you know, you gonna be there?" And I got younger kids on the junior varsity saying, "Coach, I can't wait to go to the varsity." And oh man, you know, you just want to be there for them. You know, so that was the struggle mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just must have been difficult because you were so much more than just a coach to them. Mm-hmm. You were coach, teacher, coach, father, mm-hmm. coach, best friend, coach, mm-hmm. mentor. And it's kind of like a grieving time when you have to make that choice.
Yes.
And at one point you had to tell your team mm-hmm. and you had to explain the why, and you had to, what goal or what did you want to accomplish before you actually left?
I think the main thing for me was, one of the things was we had the stadium being built. So it mm-hmm. took a while, to lobby, to ask, to mm-hmm. talk to the right people, to get our home field. Farrington has been around for so long, and we were one of the only schools without a field. Mm-hmm. So we would play our games at Roosevelt High School, and then I realized, wow, all the concession money and stuff like that wouldn't go to Farrington. And so every year, you know, we have needs, of course. I mean, mm-hmm. we're servicing 120 kids, junior varsity and varsity. We got 30 staff members, and, you know, so one of the reasons, one of the accomplishments was wanted to see this new stadium through and see that through. And everything, God set up everything in place where, you know, we had the principal, the right people. And so we were able to finally get our stadium. And so that was huge for me. So that actually allowed me to say, you know what, they're going to be okay. I can leave. That really helped me say, you know, they're going to be all right now. And so, yeah, that was one of the accomplishments. Another accomplishment was just trying to get as many kids to college as possible. You know, just make them see that they can get an education after high school. They can be the first from their family to get an education, so to get a degree. You know, that was me, in fact. So, yeah, and we've had many, many kids graduate. And not only that, but go to the military and just do things that are any parent would be proud of.
So good. So, yeah. So the day came that you had to sit your team down and you had to say, I've made a choice.
Yes.
What was that like?
Ooh, that was hard. You know, that was hard. It was emotional. How do you explain to them that you're leaving, and it's gonna be okay, you know, and you're gonna be fine. And but I did. And at the end of the day, I just said, guys, I gotta take care of my own family. It's my time, you know, to do this. And I want to be there for them. And every single one of them said, awesome. You know, they were like, nobody objected.
Wow.
And they all understood. And I'll never forget one of my players who's playing for the University of Hawaii. Now his name is Pumba Williams. One day at practice, I was going to miss practice. Because my wife was sick in the hospital. I said, Pumba, sorry, I'm not going to make practice today. And he said to me, he said, Coach, don't worry. You're a husband before a coach. We got this. And I mean, when kids like that, teenagers tell you things like that, it's like, wow. And so, yeah, a lot of them understood the reason. And so, yeah.
So good, so good. Hard, but a good choice, right? A God choice. He
led
you through that, and it was the right choice, because God calls us to honor our families, our wives, our covenant relationships. And so I applaud you for what you did there. But you moved on and still serving the Lord. Tell us what's happened since leaving coaching at Farrington.
Well, I serve more at our church now, Metro Christian Church. We started a family ministry there, and it's been a year. So we celebrated our year anniversary. And just getting involved there really helped. We shared, my wife and I shared our testimony at Easter service. And then what I noticed is, because I'm not coaching, and wow, talk about the time that I really invest in reading his word or meditating on his word. I don't miss any Bible study, you know, and you just, it's more intentional for me. You know, it's like, wow, I can do all these things. And it's been so fulfilling. I mean, really fulfilling my heart, and doing it with my family. So my kids, they watch the Superbook, and I noticed that I'm not only present at home, but present at home. So my mind is not thinking about other things. You know, it's like, okay, what am I going to do for my kids now? What, you know, what is the next step with my, you know, my family? And and so I know some people can do it all, you know, all at one time, coach and do all that stuff. Not me. Sorry. And so God pruned me for a reason. And that's what's been happening so far.
I think you're being a tad bit humble. I'm gonna, I'm gonna step in here to say that I don't know how many people showed up at the first family ministry time that you presented. You know, by the way, Coach Randall Okimoto is now going to lead a family ministry. How many people showed up just to the first meeting of the ministry?
Oh, 80?
80 people, 80, at least. And how many people are we servicing now? I go to Metro Christian Church too, full disclosure. How many people are in our church, or that your family ministry now?
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't know the exact number.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you're as you're now coaching.
Yes.
At the ministry level.
Yes.
What are some of the things you've learned as a coach that you now are using in your leadership as a ministry leader?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Talk about God preparing you. You know, just communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how you communicate.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's through technology, as long as you find the right mode of communication for your audience, I think that's what I've learned.
That important word, yeah,
yes.
That encouragement,
yes,
right, that comes through. What do you see in Randall Okimoto's future?
Good question. The Lord is leading me to serve more, I think, and just find a way to help more. Pastor Elwin, our pastor at our church, you know, asked me to be a coach of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Connect Group leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I volunteered for a men's Bible study. And yeah, so
amazing.
We're just trying to do whatever I can to amazing. Help.
I am excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where God's leading you next. Yes. All the skill and the wisdom that he's input has got to come out and be used for God's purposes. So
yes.
Thank you so much for being on our show today. Thank you for sharing your journey,
yes.
For sharing the triumphs, the challenges, the honesty, the authenticity that you had with us today. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Those were inspiring words from Coach Randall Okimoto. There's no time like now, right now, to share the love of Christ with somebody near you. And if you haven't done so yourself, today is the perfect day to open up your heart and accept Jesus Christ. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and get to know Jesus. To help us with financial support or maybe make a donation, you can also do that at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Coach Randall Okimoto. Until next time, along with my guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Antai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.